Bibles will turn with me to Matthew, and we continue our study through Matthew's Gospel, and we're in chapter 5, and this morning we want to look at verses 17 through 20. Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 through 20. Jesus again is speaking to his disciples and a multitude of people that have gathered to hear him preach and teach. And as he's coming, we've looked at what we refer to as the Beatitude, the eight blessings that he said were to the believer and to those that are in the kingdom of heaven. And now he's beginning his teaching, dealing about why those blessings are there and how we are to live as God's people and what our attitude is to be. Verses 17 through 20 this morning. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am come not to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Whoso therefore shall break one of the least of these commandments, and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoso shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. That's just our own prayer. Lord, as we come before you this morning, Lord, I pray that you just speak to us through your word and help us to understand the truths that are contained within it. Help us to understand how that truly we are to trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in you but to trust in you and obey your word. Lord, speak to us through your word today, and Father, may you instruct us and help us to learn the truths you'd have for us. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. As Jesus was speaking to the people, remember he talked about the things, the attitudes that you would possess and the blessing you would receive for having that. He talked about the fact that you were to be poor in spirit. You were to mourn. You were to be meek. You were to hunger and thirst after righteousness. You were to be merciful, and you were to be pure in heart. And not only that, you were to be peacemakers. And then he said, and you will be persecuted for righteousness' sake. Now these are the things that he's talking about, and this is attitudes that would be exactly the opposite of what many of the religious leaders and those that proclaim to be religious possessed in the day in which Jesus lived. Even in the day in which we live, if you look at the characteristics that he said should be the marks of a believer, are the opposite of the world. They're the opposite of those that proclaim to have all the answers. For in Christ, he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But he entered the world taking on the form of a man and humbling himself that you and I could be saved. One of the things that you see oftentimes today is that people get confused over the gospel. And they think that simply because of the gospel, then we can totally ignore God's law and God's word. And as we've shared before, oftentimes people emphasize the love of Christ to the extent of the truth of God's word. God demands that we view him as God. And he is true. And he is truth. And he is love. Now, one of the amazing things that's happened in our nation, as you look at what Jesus said here, what is the standard by which men are to live their lives? What standard do you and I live our lives by, and how do we decide what we're going to do, what's right, what's wrong. The Scripture tells us that we're to look to the Lord, and the Lord is to be the example by which we live. Now, why is that? Well, first of all, God is our Creator. He created us. He gave us life itself. We owe our life to Him, our physical life. Those of you this morning who have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior and have received the gift of salvation that is found in Christ, know that He is our Redeemer. And He's redeemed us. But as you look at Scripture, one of the amazing things you see is that God doesn't change in character from the time He created all things till when He came on earth and redeemed all things, nor when He's going to return again and judge all things. As a matter of fact, the Scriptures tell us that He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What is the character of God? How is He not changed? Well, He is truth. You know, you look at, in our culture today, truth seems to be a word that doesn't exist anymore. You got things happening in Washington, D.C. right now where you don't have to, or it seems like politicians don't have to speak the truth, don't have to tell the truth. They don't have to follow any regulations or laws. They do what they want to do when they want to do it, and for their own benefit and their own purposes. But how are we as people really supposed to live? You know, as I was looking at this, one of the things that I see the book, and that's why I was excited when I found out that we could get the book Occult Invasion and get them free and to pass out, because many people don't understand what has happened in America. Why are we so different today? And some of you aren't old enough to remember what it was like 50 years ago. I do, because I was 16 50 years ago, 17, forgetting how old I am. And I even remember what it was like 60 years ago. And it was different. It was different. Families were structured and stayed together. I remember in the community I grew up, divorce was so uncommon that people didn't even know hardly anybody who was divorced, because a mom and dad were the center of a home and they raised children and they passed values from their parents down to their children. And values were and faith were passed from generation to generation. And there was laws and regulations, and you actually could know what bathroom to go into. And today we are, as we said and read and studied a few weeks ago, there's a great confusion of faces in our country. And the reason it is because we've turned away from the character of God and the truth of His Word. You know, when Jesus came, an amazing thing happened as He began to teach and preach. He taught and preached with authority that no man had ever taught or preached before. Why is that? Because as Jesus preached, He was saying the words that He had spoken to the prophets. He had spoken to those that had recorded in the old, what we refer to as the Old Testament. So when He was preaching and teaching, He was teaching His own words. And as He taught, He didn't refer to all these other people. Now, I want you to understand that what it was like in Israel, because at the time Jesus came, because in many ways it's like it is in America today. People had gotten away from the authority of God's Word, even though they had the Word of God, and they should have known the Word of God. But they didn't. As a matter of fact, those that should have been the teachers and those that were the most conservative of the Jewish religious leaders, which were the scribes and the Pharisees, they didn't rely upon the Word of God to instruct them, but rather they relied upon the words of men who had interpreted the words of men, who had interpreted the words of men who had tried to interpret the Word of God. And they didn't go to the Word of God. I mentioned, I believe it was last Sunday, You know, there's many Bibles in America's homes, but how many Bibles are open? And how many times do people read the Bible? And how many times do people look at what God's Word says? Instead, they say, I don't want to believe it, but they've never read it. Instead, they disparage of God and His character and the truth that He proclaims, and yet they don't know even who He is because they haven't opened up this book where He reveals Himself. That's much like it was in the day of Jesus. And Jesus came, and as He begins to teach, the people are wondering, what's going to happen? Is He going to come with some new way of approaching everything and set aside the law? And the first thing He does is He says, I have come, in verse 17, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets, but I am come to destroy, not to destroy, but to fulfill. He came to fulfill the very words of this book. Now, I want you to understand, what is this book about? From Genesis through Exodus, Genesis through Revelation, who does it teach us about? From Genesis through Revelation, from the beginning to the end, it teaches us about Jesus. It reveals Christ. It reveals the need of the Messiah. It reveals who He is, why He was coming, and it reveals the truth of His character and the truth of His word and the truth of His message. It reveals the condition of men. It talks about the fact that man can only be saved by God's means and by God's grace. And it talks about the why we need salvation. And the reason we need salvation is because we can never meet the standard. Now, as Jesus is coming and talking to the people, it's interesting. He says an interesting thing where He closes this particular verses. He says, for I say unto you that except you, your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. When they heard that, there would have been gasps going through the crowd. You and I probably don't feel the full impact of that verse. Who were the scribes and the Pharisees, and why was that such a profound statement for Jesus to make as He's beginning to teach about what it really is to be one who is of the kingdom of heaven? You see, the scribes and the Pharisees, they were externally the most righteous people in the eyes of the nation of Israel, of everyone. The scribes have been entrusted with recording the law and recording the prophets. And they had to write and they had to make sure that every jot and tittle, the jot and the tittles were the smallest in the words and the smallest little, like for example, a jot would be similar to what would be an a little mark that we have in English to indicate like his, that, for example, when you indicate the possession of, you put a little mark there to show that it belongs to that person. That would be similar to a jot in Hebrew. It would just be a little tiny mark. But that little mark can change the whole meaning of a passage. And he said that every little mark and every expression that's in the Word of God will be it's going to be fulfilled in Him, and it's not going to pass away. The scribes were entrusted with recording all of that, and they'd have to record it, and then after they recorded it, wrote it, they'd have someone that would reread it to make sure that everything was correct. And if it was correct, it would be destroyed and they'd start all over if it was incorrect. And that's who the scribes were. And they also would teach about the scriptures. The Pharisees, on the other hand, they were the conservative religious leaders of Jesus' day. They were the ones that said they believed the Bible and they believed it to the letter of the law. And they would hold it down, and we see that Scripture reveals that the Pharisees would literally take, if they had the spices that they had in their home, they would go into their home and they'd count out the spices and they'd take a tenth of the spices and they count it out down to the seed. So to make sure that it was exactly a tenth. Not, they didn't want to give any more than a tenth, but they made sure it was exactly a tenth, because as the law said, they had to give a tenth to this, and they'd do it to the letter of the law. But the problem is, both the scribes and the Pharisees had a problem, and Jesus knew what the problem was. The very characteristics that he called blessed, they didn't possess. They were so concerned about the external, they totally forgot about the internal. In our nation today, we've got people that know nothing about the internal relationship with God and Jesus Christ. You know, there's a lot of people that want to have religion in our culture. And there's all kinds of religions. As a matter of fact, this last week I saw a deal in on the computer in one of the ads that was put up there, and it said, His name in yoga. I thought, that sounds... And then it had a cross on it. So I clicked on the ad to find out what it was. And it said, Jesus in yoga. Get our literature. Join our classes. And then you Google yoga, and it comes up with what yoga really is. It's the yoking of your mind with Hindu gods and deities, which if one examines them closely are nothing more than demonic entities showing themselves to be God. But people are so concerned about religion and religious feelings that they don't know anything about a relationship with Jesus. And so they present to people a different Jesus, a different gospel, a different message. Most churches today go one of two ways. Either legalism or abandoning Scripture altogether. Yet the Bible says, I need to take the whole counsel of God's Word. And Jesus said that everything in this book is fulfilled in Him. And so I'll never really know Him if I don't study this book, and I'll never really understand why He came if I don't study this book, and I will never really understand what He desires to do in my life and through me if I don't study this book. But yet you've got people going to yoga classes, waiting for angels to appear and reveal to them what they should do, and they don't pick up this book. Jesus said, in this, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am come to not to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven or earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Has everything been fulfilled? The answer is no. Now, there's been a partial fulfillment. Jesus came the first time, and the nation of Israel was looking for their king that would come to establish his rule and reign and overthrow the Roman government, and that's who they were looking for as their Messiah. I read an interesting thing in an article today that there was a Jewish rabbi, and he was talking about Jesus. And he said that, yes, Jesus came. Yes, he said, it even indicates that Jesus may have risen from the dead, but he couldn't be our Messiah because he didn't establish his kingdom in Israel. They don't understand because they haven't read and looked at it properly. If Jesus didn't come as a suffering servant of Isaiah chapter 53, if he didn't come in fulfillment of the first portion of Isaiah chapter 61, he would have no kingdom to rule because there wouldn't be anybody redeemed or saved, including the Jewish people. You see, every man stands condemned apart from Christ, and Christ needed to come to redeem men from their sin and pay the penalty for our sin that you and I could be saved. So we see that Jesus said that this book needs to be fulfilled. Well, what hasn't been fulfilled? As I mentioned, this book, Whatever Happened to Heaven, there's a lot of Christians today that think that we are responsible for fulfilling the final chapter and that we need to establish Christ's kingdom on earth. And the way we're going to do it is get better governments, and we're going to get better laws, and we're going to... Now, it's not to say that we shouldn't elect righteous men and we shouldn't seek to have godly principles that are based upon this word, because that's what our nation was founded on. And that's why we're floundering so much today as Americans, because we've abandoned the foundation of our nation, where you had Christian men who based our country's laws upon the fact that men were sinners. And so they set up a government with checks and balances because they knew that men were sinners. And they also understood that men had all been created in the image of God and stood accountable to God. And they knew that there were absolutes and there was absolute truth. Well, today we're become a relativistic culture, one in which there is no absolutes. And we've abandoned absolutes in our culture. We don't even know whether we're men or women anymore. We don't know what a family is anymore. We don't know anything that God has established in His Word and revealed to us. Jesus said that was going to be like that when He came the second time to judge. But you have many Christians today that think that we have to establish a kingdom on earth. Nowhere in Scripture does it tell us to do that. Paul tells us that we're to look for Him and be prepared because He could appear for His church at any time. And then the final events of history will begin to be worked out through the Great Tribulation. But people today in the church don't see any importance in the Word of God. And it's interesting too. You've got many of the same people that proclaim that they need to establish the kingdom on earth see no significance in living godly lives themselves while they're doing this. Now, we have great freedom in Christ. But freedom doesn't mean license. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. The Word of God stands true. The character of God never changes. His Word is real today and tomorrow and forever. I've shared with you in the past incidents that I've encountered of people that profess to be Christians and I don't know their heart. I don't know their relationship with the Lord. All I know is that by their fruit you shall know them. But people that profess to be Christians and profess to follow Christ and then see no importance in purity and see no importance in holiness and see no importance in reflecting the character of God and see no importance in being Christ-like in our attitudes and being all self-consumed and it's all about me. And then you have a whole diatribe of Christians, which we have another book out there that talks about psychology in the church, the cult of selfism that's come into the church. Jesus is talking about the fact that all the events have to take place, and the first event was His going to the cross, the second event will be His coming back for His church, and the third event will be Him coming back to judge at the white throne judgment, those that have rejected Him. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. You know, that should be sobering. Jesus is teaching about what it is to be someone who follows Him. And he says, he's talking about people who say they are following him, but yet they'll teach people how to break the law. And teach people how to not follow Christ. It's interesting, I was trying to think of some examples of this. And I think of a whole movement that's coming to the church today. And they say that you don't even have to read the Bible anymore. All you do is you go on your feelings and your emotions. And you wait for God to reveal to you what you are to do. I've had people tell me that God revealed to them to do things that if you look at God's Word, you know it's not according to God's will and His Word. Where in God's Word does it say that I am to abandon my family to go and have a relationship with another person? To abandon my husband or my wife to go there, and yet I claim to be a Christian. Paul talks about that. He says, well, if you're a Christian and you're married to an unbeliever and the unbeliever leaves you, you gotta let them go because you can't stop them. But he says, if you're a Christian, you're not to abandon them. But yet, you look at the church today and the divorce rate in the church is the same as it is in the world. How can that be? You look at people involved in activities that I look at Scripture and I see that they're not biblical. They're not honoring to the Lord. And we can get into a whole thing of drugs and alcohol. And our culture embraces it and the church embraces it. I've shared with you before these two elderly ladies that belong to the temperance movement down in South Dakota, which is just about dead because nobody belongs to it anymore. But anyway, she wrote an article in there about what does the Bible really say about alcohol? And you look at what the Scriptures say, and we're not to allow another spirit to control us. We're allow the Holy Spirit to control us. But Jesus says that there are going to be people that will teach things that are not according to His Word and not honoring to His character. Why do people want to do certain things? Because it makes me feel good, because I like to, because my friends do it. But how many of us ask Jesus, Lord, is this honoring to you, what I'm doing, the activities I'm involved in? I look at, if you got saved and you were a bartender, because God can save bartenders, would you feel that you should continue in your line of work? Or would you feel that perhaps you should find something else that God would be more honored in doing? I remember reading an article of a man one time who had been an alcoholic and he got saved, and so he thought that the way they would go to minister to the alcoholics was to go and have a drink with them in the bar and share Jesus. There's nothing wrong with sharing Jesus with people who are enslaved to drugs and alcohol, but don't encourage them to do it while you're sharing them. That's what Jesus is talking about here. I'm going to be a teacher, but I'm going to cause people not to walk in obedience to the Lord. That's a problem. And today you've got people that say, well, you don't have to listen to the Word of God. You don't have to listen to the law. You don't have to walk in holiness and purity of character and life. But everywhere I see in Scripture, it says that I am. And guess what happens when I fall in my face and I don't do that which is pleasing to the Lord? I feel God's hand of conviction on me. Why are you doing this? And one needs to ask, if I feel no conviction when I am doing something that I know is against the character of Christ. You know, I had somebody say, if you're doing an activity involved in something, and if Jesus would show up at that minute, would he be thrilled with what you're doing, and would you feel embarrassed? And would you say, Lord, I remember somebody was talking about the fact that when they got saved, their life, they viewed it like their house. They need to clean out their house and need to get rid of the stuff that's bad, because there's a new house, a new resident that had come to live in this house. But they had this one room where they wanted to just keep that room because it had all these things that they kind of really liked, but they knew that they needed to get rid of them. But if I just keep the door locked, nobody will ever know. Until one day the conviction came that they needed to unlock that door and let that stuff be thrown away too. You know, I look back at, I've shared with you before, and Scriptures give us the example of the Ephesians. The Ephesians were an amazing people. They were deep into the occult. So much so that they had bought books, they had statues to the demonic gods, they were silver, they were expensive. They had these expensive occultic books that talked about incantations, and it talked about worshiping demonic entities, and it talked about all this stuff. And when they got saved, they didn't go out and have a giant rummage sale and say, we're raising money for the Lord. We're going to sell all of our cultic books and our demonic statues to our neighbors who are still involved in the occult. No, it says instead they went and they got wood and they created a giant fire and they threw all their occultic books into the fire. They melted all their demonic gods and deities. They got rid of it all. Why? They wanted nothing to have a hold on them because Jesus had set them free. Now we live in a world that is constantly placing temptation before us. And we're constantly being tempted by the world around us. Why would we want to place ourselves in a position where we could yield to temptation and not be walking with the Lord the way that He wants us to walk in trusting and obeying? You know that hymn we sing it quite often, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And there really isn't any other way to be happy in Jesus but to walk in obedience to Him and to trust in His Word, because then you're experiencing the power of His Spirit in your life. Then you're walking with Him in fellowship. What He went to save you from your sins, that you could experience that fellowship with Him. So Jesus says, whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so. In other words, teach them how to break them. He shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Now, these people are sitting listening to Jesus because they want to know. He's speaking with authority because He's speaking because He's God. He's speaking and teaching on the very words that He had given to prophets to write. He's expounding upon the law that He had given to Moses at Mount Sinai. And just a side note, if you ever stop to think, why did God give the law to Moses and the Jews at Mount Sinai? Because they'd been involved in the land of of Egypt, which was an occultic religious land. It was a land that was filled with occultism. And even though God had separated them and placed them in a different portion of the land, so they weren't living right with the Egyptians, they still had been influenced by the Egyptians. And they had, even though they were the sons of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who knew and had talked to God and experienced God, Jacob had wrestled with Jesus. And they had had an intimate relationship with him. Yet these are their grandchildren and great-grandchildren and great-great-grandchildren. And they'd forgotten. And so God gives to them the law to show them the fact that they need a Savior. It was accounted righteousness unto Abraham because he walked by faith in the name of God and the promise of God that there was coming a Messiah that would redeem him. And he believed. Isaac believed. Jacob believed. And the children of Jacob or Israel needed to believe, and God needed to show them how they were to live. And then it's revealed to us in the law that we can't keep it. And that reveals to us that we need to know Jesus and we need to walk with him. So we shouldn't be teaching people how to not walk by the law, but how to walk by the law. Because when you walk by the law, all of a sudden you realize, I can't keep it. Apart from God's Spirit and the power that I find in Jesus Christ my Lord. But the amazing thing is, a Christian, and we're going to get into that this afternoon because we're going to look at the next few verses about the internal transformation. We're a new creature in Christ. And we're no longer driven by the external, but by this internal relationship which is found in Christ our Lord. I wanted to get into more, maybe I'll mention some of it this afternoon, but about what Jesus is speaking of here. The importance of, we need to have the truth as our barometer and director of our life. If we don't have this Word of God, if we don't have the character of God, if we don't have the truth of God that we're allowing to direct us, guess what? We're going to be off course. You have a ship in the middle of the ocean, and prior to having the modern GPS recorders and things, they had to go by the stars. And they would hone in, and they would have the various points in the stars that they knew did not move, and that would enable them to get their direction so that they could go the direction they needed to go. So that they'd be going east when they wanted to go east, and they wouldn't be going west. In our life, we've got something that we need to hone in on, and that's the character of God and who God is. And when we take our eyes off of Him and place them on something else, we're like the wandering stars that James talks about. We're lost, like tossed to and fro, because we don't have direction, purpose, and meaning in life. Because when we remove ourselves from the truth of God, there is no other truth. And I don't care what men tell you. There's only one truth, and that is found in the character of God. And we need to keep our eyes upon it. And Jesus came to fulfill the law and the prophets, that we could know that truth. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to understand these truths, the truth that we've just talked about. Help us to keep our focus on you. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen.